Please don't throw stones. Please. I told Brother Herb that I don't know if it's because it's my turn and I've been gone so much that I'm so in a quandary about preaching this afternoon. And it was so good to have Herb here this morning and preaching the word that it's just difficult, honestly. But I love our church. I love the Word of God. I love Him. And I'm going to make a beginning. Let's see how the Spirit goes, if that's okay with you. I really have missed Indy being gone as much as we have, our home. And I love the examples this morning, thinking about where Paul was at and what he was doing and the letters that he wrote and why he wrote them. You can relate. Today, we don't write letters, but I text back and forth. How'd this go and how'd that go? How'd the meeting go yesterday morning with the stewardship committee? And what happened last Sunday? And who preached? And we could tune in. And that is the way we spread the word and that we care for one another in our modern day. So let's make a beginning in the word together. Brother Herb was preaching this morning, I thought of Joshua. This was such a good topic in Philippians and thinking about how we react to life. That I thought about Joshua. Again, I know you know the scripture, but let's just read a few verses in the first chapter here. Because this has the beautiful verse. I got to tell you a secret. Now I realize one reason I could stand and preach because I can still tell a story on Herb. So when you go to conference, it's like a business meeting because we start about 8 o'clock and we'll go, first day go about 12 hours usually at least. And there's an itinerary and there's these topics you're going to cover. And so we've been preparing for conference and you do some reading. A lot of reading, and then you dig into the scriptures, and you're sitting there and you're contemplating, you're talking about these topics, and then I sit back and watch, and I'm still in the state of being intimidated, honestly, because I love that room. So Brother Herb talked about memorizing scripture. One thing I've seen in that room, with Herb especially, is that when you get on these topics and we're wondering what to do, sometimes you see a little emotion in the room. I mean, sometimes we have our prejudices, our backgrounds, or our worldviews that come out sometimes. But then the Spirit of God takes over, or is there. And brothers like Herb will all of a sudden at the right time say, well, it says in Deuteronomy 14. But here's how Paul talked about it in the New Testament. And then they'll shoot off a verse, the top of their head. And that has been so inspiring and convicting to me to know the word. So there's a difference between a minister or your mentor telling you, you need to memorize scripture. And so you're trying to memorize it just because that's what you're supposed to do. There's a difference in that than having problems in life or cares in life so much that you don't know what to do. And then we finally realize that we take it to God in prayer. And we learn to search the word using a concordance or a Bible search or our app on our phone. We search the word and we find verses. Now see, when we find those nuggets of truth, for me, for example, Proverbs 19:11 or other nuggets where we have a problem or we need an answer, we find these powerful verses and then we dedicate them to our mind and our heart. And I think Herb gave us some good instructions on how to do that, how to repeat in the morning. Think about how it starts. Because if you're like me, sometimes those buddies of mine that can just seem to do it, I think, well, that's just not my gift and that's just not fair. So, in the conference, that first day goes long because we're digging into a bunch of topics. And then, you know what's neat about life? When you don't know what to do, time passes. So even for us, we go to bed at night and you pray and you think and your mind, your subconscious kind of works on it during the night and other scriptures come to mind. And you wake up in the morning all excited. You can't wait to get back now and start going back into it. It is so powerful. It is such a blessing. And so what I like about this morning and about life is stories like Joshua become real to you and I, because now we put ourselves in his place in our day and time. And before we read this, I'm going to point to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Let's read it, and then we'll start back at verse 1. But this is a verse you should memorize. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. See, this verse is one to memorize. Is it a command or a suggestion? Is it just the word of God saying, I love you? I don't throw my commandments out there to make it hard for you. I want to make your way prosperous. You see, the problem we have is we imagine, if we start reading GQ, is there still a magazine GQ? If you start reading GQ or just watch the ads, we kind of get an idea of what prosperity looks like. And we're so confused. We are so confused. Because unless we meditate in the scriptures day and night, unless we understand and we listen for what God is saying to us, our picture of prosperity is messed up. It just is. And he helps us with that. So let's just read Joshua. Let's remember the man of Joshua. The words that I thought of this morning, I heard I was going to stand up and say hallelujah a couple of times, and we're not ready for that yet, probably. I would have thrown you off track, maybe. But in here, Moses, as God had said to Moses, he uses the word be strong and courageous. And I want to ask you this morning, today, are you strong? Are you strong? Are you courageous? And what's that look like in our life? If we take the lesson that we had this morning and we think about where we're at in life, it's not too unlike what Paul was experiencing or what Joshua experienced as a younger man now in charge and of responsibility here. So verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Can I stop? So think back when Joshua was introduced. He had another name back when they sent the 12 spies out. If you go back and look at that, God said, it says there, his name is another name. I don't remember the name. It's back in like the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy or somewhere. But it said God called him not that name, but he called him Joshua. And Joshua names is also like the name Jesus. If you go back in the Hebrew and look at the name, there was a special reason that God knew his heart. He just was a man who was sold out to God. So I'm gonna suggest to you that the beginning of strength, the beginning of courage, results from a strong faith. So here he says, after the death of Moses, there's Joshua. And in the second verse it says, Moses, God saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you or thou, and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. And now he describes it. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, even after all that, he says now again in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whither thou goest. So let's stop there. Okay, you got to take yourself from your Sunday school knowledge of Joshua and your little pictures in your mind, and you got to say, wait a minute, what was going on? And you got to think about your life and what is going on. So this is already the guy who, of the 12 spies, only he and Caleb came back and said, I'm not worried about giants. I'm not worried about any of what we saw because God is going to be with us. He had faith. He had a special faith. He had a strength and a courage about him that had already been proven. But now on this day, when God was saying, okay, it's time, Joshua, it's time for you to move out to go and lead the people, he knew. He knew there was going to be times of fear, and he knew there was going to be problems, and he knew the people were going to murmur. And he wanted Joshua to know. And I don't think it's any different for you and I. I sincerely hope that none of you are in a place in life where you feel excluded from these promises, because these promises are ours. God still says to you and I that He will not forsake us, and He cares for us, that He is in control and He's watching, and He cries out to us and He wants us to hear. He says to you and me, be strong and be courageous. And then the beauty in the word is like with like verses like 1:8, he points the way. But we don't make a holy hop to this place of strength or courage. But if you look up those words in the Hebrew, it speaks of growing into it. It speaks of having resolve. It speaks of words that describe a faith. A faith that says, even though I am afraid, actually, God, I am afraid, I want to be strong and I want to be courageous. I want to do the right thing. So I get it. Most of us probably say, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm afraid most of the time. So the beauty of the fear is we don't run from it, but we deal with it. And we run to the one from whom our strength comes from. And that's His desire for us. Let's sing. See, this is... I have to confess something again. This is me looking at you, thinking you're thinking, why didn't you have her preach? I'm just saying. All right. Let's sing All Hail the Power. What page is that? 575 in the combined hymnal. 570. All Hail the Power. In Jesus' name, that's where the power comes from. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown Him, crown Him, crown Him, Lord of all. Sing that hymn.
All hail the power.
Is that your soprano, Lori? Wow. Let's kneel and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is awesome to be here around the Word. And Lord, it is gratifying. It is reassuring. It gives us, our faith grows. Our courage is strengthened. When we pause and when we come around the Word, when we're together, when we fellowship with each other and we challenge each other, we learn, we're convicted by the Word, we're encouraged by it, Lord. We say all that to thank Thee for Your greatness, for Thy greatness, for the beauty that we find in the Word. And Lord, I ask Your forgiveness that we forget. You understand our flesh and our tendency to try to take care of ourselves and our nature to run to our own solutions and to picture our own prosperity. And Lord, we're so thankful for the times in our life where we are taught, where we do suffer. And even our definition of suffering, Lord, we confess that we picture it as suffering initially, and then we learn and we grow. But there is real pain, Lord. There is real loss of loved ones. There is sickness unto death. And Lord, we do cry out to Thee to remember those who are mourning, those who can't hardly get out of their bed and can't hardly meet the day. Lord, please, they're known. They're known by name. And we pray that Thy Spirit would go to them and comfort them now and in the days ahead. Those facing death, those caring for loved ones that can't come or go, give them a grace, a strength that is impossible without Thee, that is indescribable, Lord. We call upon Thee. And for those of us, Lord, here in this room that are hurting, that are keeping it secret, that are afraid, we pray, Lord, for Thy Spirit to speak to us together, collectively, together, but individually, that we would be touched, that we would know that we're loved, that we know that we would know that all is not lost, but there is hope, there's great hope, and there is salvation and mercy. There is healing that comes from Thee. So we thank Thee for all of that. Thank Thee for how it all fits together with Thy Son and our redemption and His shed blood and His death, a victory over the death. And we just thank Thee, Lord. We thank Thee for the teachers that are teaching our children now. Give them much grace, and Thy Spirit would speak in their hearts, and that they would show love to the children. Calm the children down, Lord. Plant a seed in their heart that they would believe, that their seed would find fertile ground, and that it would spring forth life and a faith and a commitment to Thee, Lord, at the right time. So we just pray now, Lord. We just thank Thee and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Turn with me to 2 Timothy. So Brother Herb and I talked about how, well, when you, last Sunday in Lamont, see, I went through this thing last Sunday, and I preached twice there. It seems to be a tradition there, but we commented how when you have two sermons, you just, everything kind of runs together, but that's not all bad. That's the way it is. But when Brother Herb was speaking this morning, speaking about, remember the cell, so the first time Paul was with in the house that Herb talked about, the second time Nero was in power, and he was in a little cell that they fed him from a little hole in the ceiling. And if you go to Rome and you get down in the old part of Rome, they'll take you to a cell. Maybe it was the same cell, maybe not. But it's a cell where you walk down. They've cut a hole and a stairs down into this cell. It's a roundish cell. It's about the ceiling, I would say, suppose is at least 12 feet high, but there is that hole in the ceiling. And it's easy to imagine this place that Paul was in when he wrote this letter to 2 Timothy. I thought about this morning, that Paul was there, now he's in not good condition, not long for this life. As Brother Herb said, he couldn't go preach, which is what he was apt to do. He was held hostage in the cell, so he wrote. So that's the context, or that's the place he was in. And this, I wonder, when you're down in that cell, the only light that could have come in, because there was no windows other than the hole that was coming down from the roof. And there was no way of escape. You couldn't possibly get to that hole in the middle of the ceiling with round walls and straight up and down and 12 to 14 feet high. But as Brother Herb said, he could have asked for, you know, he could have made a decree, but he was there and he was letting God lead. And he sat in this cell and he wrote this letter. And I think it also fits with the theme of suffering and life's problems and how God provides a way through it all. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1 together, maybe the first 13 or 14 verses here. So can you picture those conditions? He's in this dark, damp hole, and he's got his little writing utensil, and he's thinking of Timothy. He's thinking of his journeys. He's thinking of God. He's thinking of the faith and Jesus Christ and what he believed in. So he's there, and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus." Please, as we read these words, think about each one. He's, you know, I don't know if he wrote the first part of the verse and he threw the parchment away and he started over again. But I think there was purpose in each part of this as he describes himself. How do you describe yourself? He said, "First, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus." You can drill into that for a long time. If you say, "I'm a member of the Apostolic Christian Church," I mean, that's good. I understand, as long as you and I understand what all that means. What it means in our own personal faith and our testimony of the will of God in our life and how we sensed our sin and all the things that lead up to this description that Paul had. Because like he says, it's according to the promise of life. According to the promise of life. What those words mean to me is that hopefully as we get it, that we understood what our sin did and how it separated us from God. According to the promise of life, meaning the promise of life is that if we don't confess our sin and partake in the redemption that He provides, the end of our life is judgment and hell. But according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus and His redemption, He sat in a cell. And He was okay being in the cell because as He saw it, it was part of all of that. Of his being a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is what it brought him to. So that's his description of himself. And then in verse 2 it says, "Now to Timothy," and I could just feel his heart just going to love and care. "Now to Timothy, oh my dearly beloved son." He had mentored him. He watched him grow in the Lord. Oh, he says, "What can I give him from a cell? I can't send him money. I can't go to him." But he says to you, "Timothy, I bless you. I give you grace, mercy, and peace." But he also knew it's not coming from me. I mean, I can't really give it to you. I wish it for you, Timothy, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. If you don't know how to pray, we had our 7 grandkids around the table. Dad was silly enough to come over and eat with 7 grandkids and Lynn and I. And it was a little chaotic. But before we ate, I asked the kids to start and go around the table and pray. And the one sitting next to me that was going to be last said, well, there won't be anything left to pray for. She always wants to get it just right, Haley. And it was so cute and it was so precious. And thinking about what to pray for and what where it comes from, it's from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This grace and this mercy and peace. When we pray for those we love, we could take this example and wish upon them or pray for grace, mercy, and peace. Think about what else do you need? And it's from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's go on. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Ladies, what's your role? What's our purpose? Any of our purpose? I love the fact that in Timothy he saw a faithful grandmother, a 1 Corinthians woman. And his mother Eunice and that faith. He had been around long enough to see the faith that got embedded in and that was fostered and what grew in Timothy. So in verse 6 he says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now think about this. He said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. This morning we heard about suffering and what we do in those times of life. Here Timothy is being told by Paul, his mentor, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou fearful, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me and his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Let's stop there. So how do you move from fear to faith? So for Timothy, with what he was experiencing at the time and Paul remembering him, Paul wanted to take him back and just take him to the beginning. In verse 7 when he's saying that, look, your fear doesn't come from God. Because God is not a God of fear, but he's a God of power and of love and of sound mind. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So I'm gonna end here with. So get ready, Herb. Flip to John chapter 14. I'm thinking of the words of Jesus, if I'm right here. 14. Yeah. Flip to John 14, chapter 14, verse 26. Because this is what Jesus said, and this is what Paul's referring to. Verse 25 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's Jesus, his heart towards us. That's his promise to us. So what state are you in? I'm looking out to see... sometimes we know what's going on in each other's life, and I'm thinking about, you know, who's suffering? Who's experiencing change? And what are you fretting about? And how real are you with each other? And do you care? Jesus said, this is what Jesus' heart was for us, and that's what Paul understood, and that's how he grew. So remember, this is the guy, Paul's the guy who was left for dead. He was out about God's business, and he was stoned for it. And he was drug outside of the city. And he was mocked, and he was harmed, and he was taken away in Ephesus by night or in the midst of a riot. And over again, he'd experienced the hand of God and his deliverance. And for you and I, he asked us to be mindful of that. We go through Philippians and we study the word, and we think about guys like Joshua. Now here's the guy's word again. Guys like Joshua, brothers like Joshua. So let's not be afraid. Let's look to the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, who the Father sent in his name to teach us all things and grow. Because if we fellowship together and we know one another and we build one another, then in him and by his grace, we will grow. And we'll be known. We'll understand this concept.
So it seems like the theme is suffering today. I'm sorry to have brought that up, but it is good. And I have to think where I would be in a dungeon. I have claustrophobia. It's another little detail. I can't imagine. Being closed up in a dungeon. And having to hope for enough rays of sunshine to come through that little hole in the top. Sitting just in the right place where you could write. Thinking of somebody else. I think that might be the key. When we can possibly stop thinking about this circumstance that has befallen me and start thinking about somebody else. So Paul wrote about Timothy in this case. So yeah, he said in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "For now I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." What did he have left? What will you and I have left when we come to that point in life that Paul was at? And I believe that if we have a sound mind, spirit of love and of a sound mind, the thing we will cling to the most is the holy word of God. whatever of it we have. But how's that different than today? How old are you? How far away could that be? It might be a long, a lot of life ahead of you. There's a lot of things to accumulate before you get to that point. That's great. But really, the question is, today, what really do you have of value? And it says, God told Joshua, don't let this word depart out of your mouth, because it is to you for good. May God bless the beautiful sermon we heard this afternoon. May we learn how to go from fear to faith. I thought about it when Brother Ken started this morning. It is a little bit of a paradox, if you will. But the most courageous person, I think. I read Paul's writings and I say, that man had courage. That man had what we would call an indomitable spirit. He is just, I'll go. And I'm not looking back. The most courageous person began his journey of courage with surrender to Jesus Christ. That's a paradox. May God give us grace to put our trust in Him and bless us all. One of you select a closing hymn, please.
Persuaded that He is able to Once again this afternoon, we'd invite our brother to lead us in a closing prayer, please.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Herbie and for Ken and for their willingness to give of themselves to serve our church, Lord, locally and nationally, and to bring the word to us today. Father, we especially thank you for your word. We thank you for the calls within it, Lord, to surrender, to take up thy cross, Lord, to take up your cross and to follow after you, Lord, knowing that we are not walking in your steps of kingship and glory and honor, Lord, but walking the path that you walked, Father, of sacrifice, of suffering, of service, laying aside for those around you, Lord, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of building up others, Lord, and drawing them to the Father. Lord, we pray that you would just break our apathy, Lord, our relentless pursuit of comfort, Lord, and this expectation that following you will somehow be comfortable. Lord, help us instead truly seek to be conformed to your image willingly, Lord, that your Spirit would be breaking up the fallow ground in our hearts, Lord, and truly challenging us and shaping us, Lord, that we would not be seeking our own, but we would be seeking what is yours, Lord, that we would have this mind, Lord, that comes from you, Father, knowing that you thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet you were willing to be poured out, Lord, to come down to live and die for us. Father, help us truly to surrender to this mind, Lord, that we can therefore be your body to the world, Lord, to one another, and especially to this world that is lost and does not know of this love, Lord, this great love that surpasses anything we see in this life. Lord, this is too much for us. This is beyond what we are able to do, Lord. We are able to love as the world loves, but to love as you love takes you. We thank you, Lord, that you do not leave us without the Comforter, Lord, without the Spirit who comes and dwells and vitalizes. Lord, so thank you for this life. Thank you for this power. Let us not let it be wasted, Lord. Father, please put us to work this week that we can be your body and your light in this world. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Morgan. Appreciate the prayer. Did we miss any greetings this morning?